political consultant. I'm sorry you lost. I was wrong. Turned out that the voters hated the stranglehold the insurance companies have on health care.
I don't agree with this decision because it's really, these countries are very dangerous.
In fact, I think Sarah should go along with that, get a fake Emmy Award, pretend to be Tina Fey.
I think it is the atmosphere, the language that's being sort of ejected into
giant
the atmosphere.
Douche nozzle.
Oh, my Lord. World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and the only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. The show where truth is our bitch. Very proud to announce tonight that we have our on-demand video feature on our website up and finally running. So tonight's video cast, as well as our audio, is available tomorrow on demand. And our audio, of course, is a downloadable feature. You can take that, download that, drag that into iTunes, do whatever you know, whatever you want to do. And you can upload that to your podcast, or to your iPod, I should say, and you can listen to it as an iPod. So, again, our on-demand feature at philhendryshow.com is up and ready to go for both video and audio. And our number tonight, as it is every night, 877-876-PHIL. Now, if you're joining this radio show for the very first time, you need to understand something. You really need to understand this, and if it's a demand that is perhaps more than most shows make of you, forgive me. I don't know how else to put it to you. I cannot simply drop this into a McDonald's-era slogan. There's no way that I can sort of just, automatically, if you will, upload this to your mental iPod. This is just how it is for the show. We take every issue individually. I supported George Bush during the Iraq War. I voted for him, and I'm glad I did. I now support President Barack Obama. This is difficult for people to understand because in our world, you cannot possibly support one and the other. Well, I do. I don't care what people think of that. I can certainly explain it, but I find that when I do explain it, many people don't want to understand because it's beyond their ability to understand. And I'm not talking about the people that are listening to my show right now. I'm talking about the bought and paid for ideologues on television and radio, the bought and paid for and sponsored and cuckolded, if you'll pardon the expression, talk show hosts on television and radio that are not free to express truly how they feel, because if they did, it would violate a sort of understanding as to the editorial stance of their program. So if they call themselves a conservative, or if, for instance, they like Obama, they got to go all the way down the line as liberals. If they like Bush, or if they like Mitch McConnell, or they like John Boehner, or they don't like public health, they got to go all the way down the line as conservatives. Why is that? Because they don't have the guts to think for themselves, and it's probably bad for business in their opinion. But I'm here to tell you that I don't think it's bad for business, and even if it was, I'm not doing that because that's not the way I think, and that ain't the way you think. It just isn't the way real people think. So this show is reflective of the real world, and the rest of this stuff that you see and that you hear is reflective of what advertisers and the editorial board of the various organizations demand. And as such, as we've often said in the program, you are more likely to be lied to by the television and the radio than you are by politicians. Now, that's a revolutionary statement to make. Nonetheless, it's true, and sooner or later, people are going to figure it out. Having said that, I launch into our first story of the evening because it's a very important story, and it has to do with a certain segment of the political power in Washington upset with the rhetoric and the protests against the rhetoric surrounding the protest against President Barack Obama. Nancy Pelosi today brought up the image of violence in San Francisco surrounding the assassination of Harvey Milk. Now, I say what I've said at the beginning of the program because I want you to know something. When George Bush was president of the United States and we went to war in Iraq, and there were protests on the streets of America, and they were in cities all over the country, particularly in San Francisco, because I bring up San Francisco because I can remember the very, very vividly the images comparing George Bush to Adolf Hitler. You heard the statement that we played on the show the other night, that George Bush got his kicks killing American soldiers. It was outrageous. But not a word of it was denounced or commented on by individuals like Ms. Pelosi or President Carter. As a matter of fact, President Carter lent his own style of rhetoric to the noise of the Bush era. President Carter himself said words to the effect that Bush is the worst president we've ever had. The rhetoric that was surrounding George Bush was encouraged, and in some instances it was amplified by certain politicians. If you talk about liberal commentators, I mean, the hypocrisy is enough to make you want to either crap, lie yourself because it sounds like it's fun, or vomit, or just, you know, drop to one knee and weep, man, like you just fed a gopher ball to Bobby Bonds, or Barry, his son, even. Or maybe the entire Bonds lineage, going all the way on back to the great Arthur Bonds.
Who is he?
I think he started bail bonds.
Oh.
In any event, I think you know what I'm talking about. So I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now. I don't like seeing Obama called Hitler any more than I like seeing George Bush called Hitler. Why? Is it because it's really insulting? Of course. Is it because it's so vicious, it's beyond the pale of understanding? Yes. But it's also super stupid. Super stupid. The average American wouldn't know what life under Hitler was like if you somehow were able to transport them back in time and stuck their ass in a concentration camp. I don't think they'd get it even then. Honest to God, I don't. The average American wouldn't know what life under a tyrant was if you were able to paint word pictures and provide 3D slideshows along with it and gave them all the time in the world to absorb what they were seeing. The average American wouldn't know what life is like under any kind of despotic government or totalitarian regime if their lives depended on it. But they throw these words around because the hubris of Americans, particularly Americans who... quite frankly, have no claim to history yet. This generation of Americans, no claim to history. None. With the exception, possible exception, of our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan. The American people have no claim to history. The American people have been split down the middle in those wars. In point of fact, the Afghanistan conflict is now, my understanding, is not supported by the majority of Americans. Those young men and women have a claim to history. They will be remembered. This generation, this present generation of civilians in America, has no place in the book of days that will someday record the existence of this country. We won't even be a footnote. I mean, we will be the generation of Americans that ran screaming, soiling ourselves as the planes hit the World Trade Center, yeah. We will be the generation of Americans that were at each other's throats in the days and the weeks and the months and the years following that. We'll go down in history as a generation of panicked, confused, and ultimately paralyzed people. And that's about it, if we're mentioned at all. We certainly have a chance to recover that reputation, but right now, we're not even close. Now, Pelosi says that the tax Tea Party people are using insightful imagery, and it is a violent style of protest, and it reminds her of San Francisco when Harvey Milk got murdered. Now, Nancy Pelosi, it is very unfortunate, because when I criticize her, people automatically assume that I must be a conservative. The fact is, I admire a great many Democratic politicians. She ain't one of them. One of the reasons why I don't is because she's such an old woman now. I mean, I don't mean that in necessarily chronological years. I mean, in the way she views life, she has lost touch. If she ever was in touch with reality in terms of what is the difference between vehemence and violence, what's the difference between an uninformed opinion and someone that's mentally unstable? What's the difference between someone calling someone Hitler and someone picking up a gun and shooting them? Well, there's a big difference. But to bring up the atmosphere in San Francisco in the late 1970s, which was a very tense atmosphere, there's no question, but allude to the murder of Harvey Milk by a closeted, and I'm going to underline that word, closeted gay like Dan White, who was mentally unstable, and relate that to the protests against Obama these days by people who may be dumb, but they're not violent, who may use ridiculous comparisons and images in their protests, but it's not illegal, who I definitely agree. I agree with her and I agree with Carter when they both say this is outrageous, but I draw the line at joining ranks with them because those two bastards were around and looking at the news when the same thing was happening to George Bush, and these two gutless wonders didn't say anything. So I don't join forces with them. I agree with them when they say it is unacceptable. I agree. It's a disgrace. And it also is one more nail, as far as I'm concerned, in the coffin of the Tea Party Express as being, frankly, worried and panicky and anxiety-ridden Americans, but very uninformed. And to be perfectly honest with you, if there is a danger in these people, it's that their insightful speech, not because it's violent speech, but it is insightful from the standpoint of inciting stupidity, is dangerous for the country because it gives them that much more energy with people that are tired of having to read healthcare bills or tired of having to figure life out, tired of having to be involved in the process, tired of having to be an American, basically. I mean, they want all the perks, and they want to sit on their fat ass and wave the flag, but they don't want to have to listen to a president and listen to what he's saying when he talks about a health care bill, because after all, he's Obama, he's a liberal, and that's real easy. Why do I hate liberals and conservatives more than anything else? Because those two bastards, those two groups of motherless dogs have given all of the other people excuses not to have to define who they are and what they are. All they have to do is call themselves a liberal or a conservative. Simple-minded jackballs like Keith Oberfuhrer. Simple-minded rednecks like Bill O'Reilly. Both of those guys, they could both burn in the same car crash. It wouldn't matter to me one bit because neither one of those guys pushes this country forward at all. However, they're not the problem. The problem is the people that watch him and think they know what they're talking about. And you can see them out there in the tax Tea Party protests, and you saw them in the anti-Iraq war protests during the Bush years. No difference between the two groups of people. No difference at all. Their level of understanding of history and current events, exactly the same. I don't give a damn if one group is more college educated than the other. They're both as willfully ignorant as the other. Nancy Pelosi today, the House Speaker, she told reporters that she's afraid for the safety of some politicians because of rhetoric that is coming from critics of the current administration. Let's listen to Nancy Pelosi. She was weighing in on this today. And this was for a group of newsmen that she was speaking to on the issue of, for instance, this insightful speech, you know, Obama being Hitler and so forth.
I think we all have to take responsibility for our actions and our words. We are a free country, and this balance between freedom and safety is one that we have to carefully balance. I have concerns about some of the language that is being used because I saw this myself in the late 70s in San Francisco. This kind of rhetoric was very frightening, and it created a climate in which violence took place. And So I wish that we would all, again, curb our enthusiasm in some of the statements that are made, so understanding that some of the people, the ears that it is falling on, are not as balanced as the person making the statement might assume.
This is a woman that still lives in the early 1980s. She doesn't understand why violence exists. She has no idea why violence exists, why that kind of violence existed. And the difference, even if you don't like them politically. All right, this next one here is Hardball's Chris Matthews, who is so frozen in his in the need for he's so frozen in the need to remain progressive or liberal because of the job that he's got, that he is beginning to sound, even Chris Matthews is beginning to sound redundant, and that's saying a lot for Chris. But he already is quite redundant, but he is even stretching this to the ends of the earth. as he gets back to this gun issue.
The question here is very serious. So what is it in the atmosphere that allows a person to feel comfortable showing up at a political event carrying a gun, in some cases two guns, and letting people know they're armed? What is it in the atmosphere that lets a person bring a sign that compares the President of the United States to an animal or to a Nazi? What is it makes them feel comfortable doing that kind of crap in public? I wonder if it isn't the atmosphere of language
one
that's
of the,
being
one
used.
One of the reasons, shut up, Chris. One of the reasons is, one, it is constitutional and legal, and the other is unacceptable, but where were you when they were comparing Bush to Hitler? Now, here's the answer from Mark Potack from the Southern Poverty Law Center, responding to Matthew's question.
I think it is the atmosphere, the language that's being sort of ejected into the atmosphere. I think that, you know, what we're hearing in particular from our quote-unquote leaders, from both political leaders and commentators. I mean, you know, yesterday Rush Limbaugh was on the air talking about an incident in which black kids attacked a white kid on a school bus, an incident the police said was not racially motivated, and saying that what we need are segregated buses, that this is the only way, I suppose, that white people can be protected from black people. I think when we have characters like Limbaugh saying that on the air to millions of Americans, many of whom actually revere the man, you know, it's not surprising that people feel that, you know, the race war is around the corner and that we're allowed to say these kinds
now,
of things.
Now, Mark Potack is officially the
giant douche nozzle.
The Southern Poverty Law. No, I'm just kidding. The Southern Poverty Law Center. He's not a psychologist. He's not a sociologist. He is a lawyer. So he doesn't know anything more about why people do things than anybody else. He can have his opinion. Rush Limbaugh never said that. He knows that Limbaugh never said that. But now he just continues along with the same kind of playbook that everybody's using, whether they're liberal or conservative, and they are lying to and willfully lying to press forward a particular political agenda. It's killing the country. I'm telling you, it's killing the country. If you call yourself a conservative or a liberal or a progressive, if you call yourself an independent, you're a part of this wave of hysteria that is murdering this country. We're going to be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, is an image of Obama as a witch doctor racist? Your calls, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL and our website, philhendryshow.com and facebook.com/Phil Hendry. And the real Phil Hendry at twitter.com if you want to check us out over at Twitter. And we are live streaming video and audio every night on our website. Downloadable audio the following day on demand and on demand video the following day. And that's up and running right now. Here is Aaron in Indianapolis. Aaron, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, how you doing, Phil? You know, fine. I was just thinking about what you said the other day, and me, you know, I'm a songwriter here, and you know, as a songwriter, you think about different things come up in your mind. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about the visceral you see on TV and how many people say they care about their country. They care more about their pocketbook. People are financially benefiting from this ignorance out here. And the worst of it, and it's the scum of the earth, is this here media. The network, that's the only thing they have in common, the right and the left. They both use this to promote themselves. They
right.
build up, and I'm so sick and tired. Well, we were the first to cover this. Everybody's going to cover it. They're looking to right. build themselves up for award shows, and I know, as President Carter said, there was a lot of truth to it, but I think he went too broad with his statement, you know, because if it wasn't for a lot of white people, there wouldn't be no President Obama. They, instead of being angry about it, they should be proud of it because that finally says what the Constitution was about. It says it's right.
I think he's making a point about the racial. I think he's making a good point about the racial imagery. But I don't stand shoulder to shoulder with President Carter because he's a hypocrite. Where was he when the same images, not racial, but the Hitler images, were being raised about Bush? When Bush was a murderer.
I never liked his policies, Bush's policies, but not once would I disrespect that man as our president.
And same says Hitler. Yeah, all right.
He is a commander-in-chief, just like Dilfman is.
All right, Aaron. I appreciate your phone call, sir. Thanks very much. I got to take a break here. And the gentleman is saying what we've said. that the truth is now the victim because of the ongoing media war. In the midst of everything else that's happening, I got to keep reminding you that there's a war going on in the information dissemination business, in the information delivery business. There is a serious bloodletting going on. And truth is the casualty because they're going to get you to watch and listen no matter what, even if it isn't true. Phil Hendry's show will be back with Obama and the witch doctor story.
Phil Hendry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night. We broadcast from the El Pacifico here on the furthest edge, the western edge of this great and fragile thing called America. And we are a show where truth indeed is our bitch, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And because we know what we're talking about, we can't possibly be liberal or conservative. And I'll give you a classic example of the story on this Obama as a witch doctor, these posters that show Obama as a witch doctor, a classic example of what I'm talking about. When President Carter says that he believes that there is racist imagery, or let's just leave that out for a moment. When President Carter says he believes that there is a tenor to the criticism of Barack Obama that is completely out of control, that is disrespectful to the office of the president, that is beyond the pale, that is out of proportion to what it is the topic of discussion is, I agree with him. But I don't particularly want to hang out with him. You see, it's a difficult thing. I agree with the guy, but then this is the same guy that didn't open the chin sewer when they were dropping all that crap on Bush. So he's got no credibility with me. I can agree with him, but I ain't going to go listen to the guy talk. I'm not going to read any books. I mean, I don't disrespect the former president, but I've never found him to be a terribly interesting man. And lately, when he opens his yap, a lot of the stuff that comes out is bizarre, to put a kind word on it. So he may be right in this instance, but I know him not to be a very sincere man when he did not open his mouth at all when some of the most disrespectful, some of the most incendiary, some of the most vicious commentary I'd ever heard in my life was being directed at George Bush. And if there are people who would say the following, well, Bush deserved it, that just proves to me how married to their ideology they are, to the point of almost getting into bed and performing sodomy with it. I mean, you don't need a girlfriend or a boyfriend, man. Half of these people are getting serviced by their little progressive philosophies or their conservative philosophies, man. Just them, themselves alone, with their playbook, man. That's all they need. I mean, these people probably get into self-gratification reading books by either William F. Buckley or maybe one by former President Carter. For them, that's all they need. That's the trigger. Oh, yeah, Camp David, yeah. All right. Obama as a witch doctor, racist or satirical? Posters portraying President Obama as a witch doctor may be racist, organizers of the Tea Party protests say, but they reflect anger about where he is leading the country. Okay, I don't even think that I need to read the rest of this story because it's really boring. And why is it boring? Well, it quotes a lot of people that run the Tea Party protests. Witch doctor. Well, that's a tough one because you've got a health care bill that's being debated. And so a witch doctor, that is a doctor that is not schooled in science, but is more schooled in metaphysics and black magic, would be the perfect kind of a guy to administer the Obama health care plan. That's the opinion of the people who are the protesters, right? The guy who was quoted here from the Tax Party protest, the Tea Party Express, Joe Wurzbicki, it wasn't that smart. When they asked him, he's too stupid to come up with a logical or at least a quasi-logical statement like that. So what Joe said was, quote, that witch doctor image is not representative at all of what this movement's about, but it says to me that a lot of people in this country are angry about the direction that the administration and Congress are taking us. And you're going to see a wide expanse of those people. Some are going to be more extreme. Most of them are going to be in the mainstream of American politics, as evidenced by Obama's falling poll numbers. An incendiary image, such as a witch doctor, detracts from any hope of a cohesive message at the rallies, where many appear to be associated directly with either the Republican or Democratic parties, said Joseph Campbell, a media professor at American University. All right, let's listen to Carter as he weighs in.
When a radical fringe element of demonstrators and others began to attack the President of the United States of America as an animal or as a reincarnation of Adolf Hitler, or when they waved signs in the air that said we should have buried Obama with Kennedy. Those kind of things are beyond the bounds of the way presidents have ever been accepted, even with people who disagree. And I think people that are guilty of that kind of personal attack against Obama have been influenced to a major degree by a belief that he should not be president because he happens to be African-American. It's a racist attitude.
All right, well, that's the president's opinion. In terms of the racist attitude, I believe that there is a racist attitude when it comes to Barack Obama, if you want to call it that. But last night we put another word, we tried to give it another description. It's kind of a racial fear. There is a racial mistrust. I don't know that a guy who doesn't like a black guy or a black guy that doesn't like a white guy is necessarily thinking, I'm superior to him. I don't know that that's the case. What he quite very well may be thinking is, I don't trust that guy because of what he represents to me. And am I being logical? No. But therefore, you know, that shows you to the extent that I've been damaged by this climate. All right. Now, let's talk about just for a second here, the idea of the witch doctor poster. Why is it a stupid idea? Because it's racist? No. It's stupid because it can be misread. Now, if you are concerned with your country, as the Tax Party Express claims to be, you want to be as clear as you possibly can with your message so that you can convince as many people as you can with your message. Why would you run the risk of people misunderstanding you by introducing into that debate an image that can be and is admitted to be confusing by this Wurzbicki, this clown that runs this Tax Party Express, or a coordinator? Do you want people to agree with you? Do you want people to listen to you? Do you want people to understand you? Yes. Then why would you bring out a witch doctor poster? Either you're dumb or you're a racist. Because the refinement of the argument that I just gave you, while in principle it's fine and people can understand it, oh yeah, witch doctor, medicine. The guy that brings that thing out there is either an idiot and doesn't understand, like that lady that made that little black doll that had the banana and the monkey, and then she said, I had no idea, we've been in business for 30 years. I'm telling you right now, I know there's some stupid people on earth, but I never thought it possible in the United States of America, with the race problems that we've had, with the decades of violence that we've endured, all the way from Jim Crow on back to slavery, that it was possible that somebody grew up in this country and doesn't get it about a black baby with a banana and a monkey. I didn't think that it was within the realm of possibility. Now I know better. My God, as shocking as it is, now I know better. There are some people, man, they got their heads so far up their asses that as far as they're concerned, man, the lights are out and they're going to bed. They don't know what's going on. And if a guy brings out a witch doctor poster at a Tax Express or whatever the hell they call this jackass thing, and he says, don't you see? It's about medicine. Obama's a witch doctor. I get it, man, but I'm saying to you, it's also an animist, native, barbarian African image. You know, it sort of plays to that jungle monkey thing. Oh, you're just being, I'm just telling you, man, don't you want people to understand? Oh, most people get it. Now, if that guy really believes that, and ever since the lady with the monkey and the banana, I'm willing to believe anything. If that guy really believes that, you guys in the, what is it called? Tax Party Express, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. You're in big trouble because I do believe that if we get enough of this information out, and if we continue to talk about this, even if it is you know, even if we're like pushing a rock up a hill, man, even if we're like the salmon swimming upstream, some of us are going to die and some of us are going to make it. I think sooner or later people will begin to get the idea, well, there's good and bad, and some of the points that are being made not very well, and we do have a health care problem. I mean, even Republicans recognize that. So what has all of the Obama bashing got to do with it? I think people are going to see through it. I think, as they say, as the poet said, they're protesting too much. There is an extremeness to the language and to the vitriol that is out of proportion to what we're talking about. That's when you start thinking, what's really wrong with these people? I mean, I understand health care plan. I mean, it's expensive. I heard the president say he's perfectly willing to listen to other ideas that Republicans may offer. He cited John McCain and some of the ideas that he's had. John McCain was the nominee of the Republican Party back in 2008, for God's sake. He is a respected member of the right in this country. So we know that the president is not an extremist. The only way that you can paint Obama as an extremist is to be a paranoid person. To be somebody so frightened of being wrong, you gotta find something, anything wrong with that guy that you don't like. And as we get to know Obama better and we realize he isn't the liberal that we thought he was, it gets increasingly more difficult for some of these people who didn't like the idea of a Democrat becoming president and didn't like the idea of a liberal, quote-unquote, becoming president. It becomes increasingly more difficult for them to make their case. They start to sound like what they are, out of touch and just haters for the sake of hating. And I don't mean that on the basis of race. I mean that on the basis of ideology. Just inflexible jackasses that we can't use in this country. All right, here's Ryan in Naples, Florida. Ryan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on?
Hey, Phil, two things. Real quick, first of all, kudos to you for being one of about three people in this country who actually attack both the right and the left. I give you tremendous credit for that, and I wish there were a lot more people out there that would do that. If you ask me, I think everybody in Washington, whether they've got a D, an R, or an I next to their name, needs to be thrown out and new people brought in every 2 years that we can do so. That's the way I think we should start handling Washington. But real quick, I do think, and again, I give same thing for the idea of saying that the things that the tea bag protesters, whatever, being attacked for right now with the Hitler and all this, were not being brought up four or five years ago when Bush was being attacked for those same things. But I think that both groups had a right and had valid points to be out there. If somebody out there was against the Iraq war, they have the right to go out and protest and say that they're against
it. No. Nobody's saying that they don't have the right. That's not the point. No one's saying they don't have the right to protest. We're just commenting on the language they're using. I mean, what is that about, man? What point are they making there? When you say that Obama is Hitler or Bush is Hitler, what message are you trying to send to me so that I am aware of what it is you're trying to say?
No, I completely think that's inappropriate. But what I'm hearing from you on here is I'm hearing you say that the people that are out there, the teabaggers or whatever you want to call them, are out there, that they're being – the ones that are coming out and using the crazy posters of the witch doctor and the ones that are comparing him to Hitler and all that, I think it's absurd. I think they discredit their cause, discredit what they're trying to protest when they do that. But
That's what I'm saying.
The people being – I'm sorry?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, but I mean,
I agree with you.
That are out there doing it in a peaceful way and in a respectful way, that they have a point and have a right to be out there and have a.
I absolutely do. I would not agree with you that they have. I absolutely do. I don't agree with you that they have a point. I don't think that they really know why they don't like this health care plan, because I don't believe that they have the courage to look at it. If they did, a lot of their questions would be answered. But that's my opinion.
Where my fear comes from is the fact that in the short time that Obama's been in office, I've seen such a massive power grab by the government in taking over. Now, maybe this was recommended by economists, but such a massive power grab by the government in taking over private companies, GM, Chrysler, AIG, Citibank, Bank America.
Why do you call this a power grab? I don't understand something. Help me with this. Why do you call it a power grab when these guys went to Washington and got on their hands and knees with their knee pads on and their lip gloss on and asked for the money?
Because the government.
What are you talking about?
Company.
Huh?
Because the government now owns private companies. And when the government.
Well, no. Did you hear what I said? How do you call it a power grab when these clowns went to Washington asking for the money? Asking for billions.
Because if you ask me, they should have been allowed to go ahead and go into bankruptcy. If they fail, they fail. If they're able to reorganize, they reorganize. But I think when the government steps in, and even if call it a power grab, call it the government over.
Why do you blame the government? Why? All right. Maybe it was a wrong move. Why do you blame the government? Why don't you go to GM and to these banks and say, you chicky, lily-livered bastards, what are you doing?
Absolutely.
You gave in. You didn't say that at all. The very first thing you said is what everybody says. Power grab by the government. Power grab by the government. Why don't you say what the real issue would be?
I throw the blame toward Bush as well.
No, man, it's not about Bush or Obama. What you're telling me is, and where you ought to be directing your energy, I think, is at the ineffective, feckless bastards that ran these banks and these auto companies willingly giving into a government for money. Why are you not criticizing them? Why is this the power grab of Obama or the power grab of Bush?
Well, I am criticizing them as well, and I think every one of them should.
No, you're not. You didn't bring it up until I brought it up. You didn't bring it up until I brought it up.
Allowed to fail. But the fact that the government now...
No. Allowed to fail. There's no allowed to fail. These guys didn't want to fail. What do you mean allowed to fail? They didn't want to fail. They asked for money.
I'm sorry. They should have been forced to fail. When GM wasn't able to do it, they should have said, you know what? Go ahead, reorganize bank. Go.
Why? But my question is, Ryan, is this. You got this thing so bass-ackwards, man, I don't know where to start with you. You complain about a government that's power-grabbing. You say that the government didn't allow these guys to fail or did not force them to fail. It's like saying, it's like telling a little kid, you didn't go up to your parents and remind them that you were going to go swimming and you don't know how to swim. Why didn't you do that?
Well, no, where it comes
well,
in...
Well, no, the parent is the responsible party. And the responsible party here are the individuals that ran these businesses into the ground, and these are the people that ultimately need to make this decision. Now you're saying that daddy, the very big government that you don't like, is supposed to step in and be big government at this point and tell them what they must do as a private business. You don't want money being funneled to them...
They don't need to facilitate the
what?
I don't want to use the socialized word, but they don't need to facilitate handing over billions of dollars to the prime. I mean, the government owns controlling stake of.
No, I know exactly what you're saying with the government owns, but I know what you're saying about the government owning everything. I understand that, but you're telling me that the business leaders of this country should not be held that accountable because really, ultimately, it was the government that did not force these business leaders to run their business the way you want them to, which is to go into bankruptcy, as opposed to running the business the way maybe some of us want them to do by giving them money.
Well, let me give you the comparison.
But either way, Ryan, the solution that you're calling for is the government telling them what to do. I've never been able to understand people who say that this has been a government power grab. I don't think I ever will. And that's because nobody will ever be able to explain it to me. You want the government to stay out of business, but you want the government to be in business long enough to tell them what to do with their business, which is go out of business. Really? What kind of precedent would that set? 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show.
Down for you.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Good evening, good morning, good day to you. Every night here from the El Pacifico, where truth is our bitch, the only news, talk, and entertainment show anywhere in the world, on television or radio, that knows what it's talking about. And the last gentleman that was discussing with me this idea that the government either did a takeover or did not allow companies to collapse as they should brought up a very good point. And I think that we are so paralyzed by words, so used to going to the cliche, and it represents things that are so powerful, we can't see our own the nose on the end of our face anymore, man. I mean, if you are actually saying to me that the government pulled a power grab by buying up Detroit and buying up the banks, I, of course, am going to respond, wait a minute. These guys asked for money. Yes, but they should have been allowed to collapse. Now, as I said to the gentleman, That's a kind of government involvement of more benign but more acceptable type, but nonetheless, the kind of government involvement that is just as destructive. The government stands there being asked for something by its people. In this instance, corporations that employ millions, banks that employ and have relying upon them many, many people, homeowners, people that have taken out loans, people with deposits, people with retirements. This represents a lot of people. And these are a lot of people coming to the government saying, we need your help. So the government says no. And this is now a government that's acceptable to a certain kind of people because that's the kind of government they want. A government that's making the right kind of decision as opposed to a decision that they don't like, which is that the government will give the money to those people. But nonetheless, it's the government. And so who gets off the hook? The people that ran those corporations into the ground, the people that ran those banks and those lending institutions into the ground, and the government is always is holding the bag. And why is that? Because that's the last argument, the fallback argument of a lazy, intellectually lazy people. We'll be back at a world-famous Phil Hendry show with more, including a lab technician is arrested in the Yale murder.
Phil Hendry.